Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Mason Wazwaz, and Pickles the cat. Pickles is like rubbing her face right on the desk right where I'm sitting. You're probably going to hear it in the mic. All thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own. We do not represent any entity, company, organization, ever.
Business. Government organization. NGO.
Nonprofit. For-profit. Right. Corporation. Yes. We represent none of those. We are only expressing our own individual opinions.
Okay, Mason, for immediate release, we got a little something from Mark Gebhardt. Well, Mark is writing in to say the 2021 East Bay Open Studios event will take place June 5th and 6th and June 12th and 13th and features over 100 participating artists in 10 cities.
Whoa.
Showing physically and or virtually. Do you know that the East Bay Open Studios has been going on for over 40 years?
Oh my goodness. I believe it. I mean, yeah, sure. Today is the 20th. It's May 20th. Can you believe that? We're already at the end of this month, almost.
Yeah, but that's fine. Don't anybody start freaking out about it.
Who's so freaking on out the about 20th.
I don't know. Time is just going by so fast and I can't really take it. So I need to just say it's fine.
Aww.
It's fine.
Okay.
I'm the one freaking out. Okay. And you can start seeing what artists are going to be showing on May 22nd. And there's going to be weekend one will be the Bayside City. So various studios and exhibition spaces are going to be Bayside.
Okay.
Okay. That's June 5th and 6th. And then June 12th and 13th are 680 Corridor Cities. That's, 680, the highway.
680, yep.
The 680 Corridor Cities. Okay, the 10 cities they're including are Pinole. This is a continuation of the last episode of listing different places around the Bay Area. Here's the 10 cities. Wait, Mason, can you guess? Guess all 10 cities. I gave you one.
Okay,
Pinole. Okay, guess what are the rest of the East Bay cities?
This is an East Bay city?
You're never going to get all
680.
These.
680. I can think of Highway 24. Oh, 680. Walnut Creek. Lafayette.
Wait, yes, Walnut Creek. Yes, Lafayette. Yes.
Orinda.
Orinda is not listed.
Oh, okay. And then what's beyond that?
Wait, no, Maysoon, this is just all the East Bay. So this is Bayside next to the Bay and the extended 680 corridor. So you can also list the core.
Okay, we got Berkeley. We got, we got Alameda. We got
Oakland. Nope, Alameda is not
Albany.
Listed.
How about Albany?
Albany is listed, yes.
How about El Cerrito?
Nope.
How about Richmond?
Yes.
And then we already did, the ones up the 24
corridor. Well, you didn't
corridor.
Listen to major East
what,
Bay City.
Berkeley?
You got Berkeley.
I said
you
Berkeley.
Said that already.
I said Oakland. I said
no,
Alameda.
You didn't. You didn't say
I did
Oakland.
Say Oakland. Listen no. back, girl.
We'll
listen
review.
Back.
We'll listen back, motherfucker.
I mean, Oakland's like an obvious. Okay, San Leandro. Now we're
nope.
going south. San
nope.
Leandro is not
nope.
listed. How about San Jose?
Nope. That's the south.
What the hell's wrong? I mean, what's going on here? Modesto is not anywhere near here, so that's
God,
out
no.
of it.
Okay, do you give up?
Gosh, I just don't think I have the others. As soon as you say them, I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, say the other ones.
El Sobrante, Livermore, and Emeryville. Oh, you forgot Emeryville.
Livermore? Oh, Emeryville. Sorry, Emeryville. Dude, that's right. I thought Livermore is far. Livermore's what? Not... Livermore's kind of out there.
Livermore.
Considered Bay Area?
The hidden jewel of the East Bay.
No.
Don't talk bad about Livermore. Livermore listeners, write in. Congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Tell us why Livermore is the hidden jewel of the East Bay.
Livermore is a very cool spot. It has the longest running light bulb in all of the world.
There you go.
It's a very... A friend of mine made a movie about Livermore, like... 15 years ago. Like, I have a lot of respect for Livermore. I just would never have considered that Bay Area.
You better have respect for Livermore.
Those Livermoreans.
Okay.
Oh, maybe we should all move to Livermore.
Montalvo has a summer program this summer, the Summer Sunset Cinema.
Oh,
starting
sweet.
On Sunday, May 23rd at 8:30 p.m., they're going to be showing The Princess Bride.
Oh.
On June 13th, on Black Panther. Movie. July 25th, Ghostbusters. July 30th, Coco. And August 27th, The Birds.
Oh,
nothing
I
says
might go
summer
see that.
More than being outside under the stars seeing a great movie.
Do they say
so
that? Is that their tagline?
Join your friends at Montalvo.
You know, I actually really love outdoor events like that. I love going to see like outdoor theater, outdoor music festival. Well, not festivals, but outdoor music events. I love that shit.
And there it's all coming back. You know, May soon. I hope you're reviewing some of our group texts and so forth and some of our private. I know you like to make transcripts of our private conversations. And I did predict, now I know that this is, the pandemic is not over by any stretch.
It's really not. It's really not.
But I did say in many of our correspondence that the pandemic would be over on June 16th.
Okay. In what way were you referencing that? Was this a recent?
I said many years ago, I said months and months ago. On one of our group texts, I said, the pandemic is going to be over on June 16th. I said, let it be known, the pandemic will be over on June 16th. And then our good friend Zoe Teleporo said, I'm marking my calendar.
Did she mark her calendar?
I hope so. And sure enough, KQED just reported a few days ago that on June 15th, the mask mandate will be dropped.
Will be lifted. Whoa. I'm still going to wear a mask, you guys. I'm just going to let you know that now.
By all means.
I still wear a mask outside. I think I'm the only one. Sometimes.
No, I do too. Well, I mean, I take it down if no one's around me, but then if I'm about to cross paths with someone, then I pop it on.
You put it on. I actually noticed a few
I do
people
it more.
Doing that today,
I feel like
nice.
It's just courtesy, kind of. That's how
kind
I
of.
Feel.
Yeah, I think you're right. I am actually really into the idea of wearing a mask if I'm sick. Like, I mean, outside of COVID land, right? Like if I have a cold.
Yeah.
Isn't this the first year you haven't had a cold? I mean, it's just crazy to me. I'm like, oh my God.
I don't know. I feel like I did have a cold.
Oh, really?
I think I had every kind of illness they have. I thought I had polio for a while during quarantine.
Oh my goodness, Kate, what in the world? Your imagination is outrageous sometimes. It's okay. We all go there. We all go to the dark places.
Big time. Big time. I don't know. What we got an email from Casemore Kirkby saying, please join us and Raymond Saunders at Casemore Kirkby for the signing of a special edition poster and opening event. That was back on Saturday, May 8th.
That was back
in
the day.
So we did happen to miss that, but I'm thinking maybe the show is still open. It's called Raymond Saunders 40 Years Paris/Oakland. Raymond Saunders 40 Years Paris/Oakland. Casemore Kirkby and Andrew Krebs Gallery. What's Andrew Krebs Gallery?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a new, I don't know. Is it Kress or Krebs? I feel like I've seen
K-R-E-P-S. So.
Okay. What in the hell is going on here?
Can you not type on, can you not look up Casemore Kirkby?
It's literally taking me to a page that says, this connection is not private. Show details or go back. I mean, what the fuck is that?
For how close we live to everything related to the internet. How shitty my internet is. I have Sonic internet.
It's literally
this is
not
a,
letting
I'm
me go
calling,
to fucking
I'm making a frick sounding, I'm sounding the alarm. I have the worst internet. Now, my fucking building is from the night, was built in like 1960 something. And nothing yet in the building has been updated since it was built. So we don't have a Cat 5 cable hookup for our internet. So that's not on the ISP, but I do think it kind of is on the ISP. Can they give us a break? Because we're not getting the full fucking BPS or whatever. We're not getting the bits and the gigs that we're looking for. So I think they should cut us some slack. Plus, they keep sending me these things that there's going to be a fiber optic hookup, you know, getting me all excited. And then I go to see if I'm eligible for that yet. And it's like, keep waiting. It could be any minute now. And I think that's fucked up.
Hey, were you able to get to Case More Kirkerby? Because I can't tell if there's something wrong with their website or if it's just some weird thing on with my phone and their website.
Whoa, no, I'm getting the same problem.
Weird, right? We got to let them know. Case More Kirkerby, if you're listening 3 days later and your website still isn't working. Weird, right?
It says this domain has not yet had certificates generated. I wonder if they're just updating their website.
I can't imagine they would want this ever to happen to them.
I know, but maybe we just start visiting it in the 5 minutes where it's going to be like this. You know what I'm saying?
I can't even find their phone number. I almost want to give them a call
on
the show.
Okay, but look, I went to their mother. We don't need to call them. I'm sure they're working it out. Case More Kirkerby, that show, that Raymond Saunders 40 Years Paris/Oakland is going to be up until June 12th. Okay, I just went to their
Instagram. Oh, you finally figured it out.
I went to their Instagram.
Oh, good, good. Very good.
Okay, smart. Mason, we got to move on.
To better
We
things.
Went to a performance.
Yay!
Mason and I got to see each other in person. We hugged.
Oh,
we got to
chit chat.
We stood in a circle, chit chatted. We didn't have any LaCroix because it was an outdoor affair and there wasn't refreshments or anything. But we did have a beautiful evening over by Lake Merritt right here in Oakland. Indira Allegra, together with local sound artist and composer Shanna Swordall, presented Corresponding Sights. Now, Mason, do you remember the Gene Garrity's intro to the performance?
I couldn't really hear it, to be quite honest, because she wasn't mic'd.
It was a little bit of an audio. It was an audio feat.
It took place outside. Yeah, I heard. It sounded like she primarily was introducing the artist, but I don't know if she gave some context to the performance itself.
Okay, yes,
that's what my mind
was. I think the thing was that. The scientists at MIT, I'm looking at the press release here. Scientists at MIT assigned each amino acid on the coronavirus protein spike a unique note on a musical scale, converting the entire protein into a score.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So cool.
And through this new technique called sonification, they hope to find sites where antibodies or drugs might be able to bind simply by searching for a specific musical sequence that corresponded to these sites. And so I think that's
That's so confusing to me, but so interesting.
Well, yeah.
Only
I don't know.
I'm not
You've
a scientist.
Listened to Radio Lab. You remember Dad Abumrad was doing all kinds of shit like this.
Yes, but how you find a cure using sound is like, that to me, I'm just like, totally confounded and on.
Well, I gotta tell you, Mason, I don't think that's how they did it.
But still, I mean, just that it takes all kinds of exploration to get there. Like, I just love that. I think it's so beautiful.
Keep that A in STEAM, guys. It's not just STEM, it's STEAM. Because you need that A in there, babies.
Yes, I love that.
Okay, but Mason, so I think that's what the performance was based on. And sure enough, did I go knowing it was going to be participatory?
No,
not
me
exactly. But I kind of had a hunch that because we were outside, we were by the lake, I had a feeling that
we would be individual nodes.
We might be embodying something. Mm-hmm.
We were,
you know what I'm saying?
I think we were playing different amino acids on the protein spike.
And sure enough, we were. Mm-hmm. We were. And I got to say, I was going through a whole... Well, so the performance consisted of Indira Allegra brought out this kind of plastic ribbon material.
Yeah, red.
And a bunch of participants formed basically a big circle or whatever, like a big... I don't know. Were we the virus?
I think we were the virus. We were a big circle.
Was the ribbon the virus, or was the ribbon symbolizing how we were all interconnected, even though we were at a distance from each other?
I think we all formed the virus together.
And then Indira Allegra did a very athletic,
really intense
enactment. Yes, running around, and you know, I think the participants were kind of. Being almost like a proximity alarm where we were doing a vocalizing. Mm-hmm.
And then there was this one amazing moment where Kate dropped the ribbon and that like...
Okay, I didn't just drop the ribbon. It like exploded.
The ribbon exploded in Kate's hands, which is just perfectly Kate. Amazing. And it triggered this whole new series of movements and actions where we formed into smaller groups and we had phrases, and we were in different kind of like physical positions within the group, and would respond, you know, with Indira kind of orchestrating us to do different things at different moments.
Right. And so point is, I was going through a whole mental world of thinking about the virus and the year of being isolated. And there was like, there were moments where the ribbon was kind of started to divide up the people. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where I was in my own little polygon, mm-hmm. my own little shape inside. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I've been walled off. I don't know. I was going through a whole mental thing. And then I hadn't seen any of the art people that I normally would be seeing like a couple times a month.
In over a year.
Our little art community. I'm hugging people. It was like emotional.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not that that necessarily was what the performance was about. But maybe it was kind of.
I think it could have. I think it very likely was. Even outside of coronavirus, that could be an emotional thing, you know, to like be linked with strangers or even with friends in that way.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it was a very different experience in this context. And I would also say, also according to the press release, this was part of the Wattis's Cecilia Vicuña research season. Yeah. And there's also a couple of Cecilia Vicuña pieces up over at BAM PFA right now at BAM. And I went to there. I went to the museum for the first time in 900 years.
Aww.
That was my first museum visit. Yes, Rosie Lee Tompkins has a fantastic retrospective up of her quilt work over at BAM PFA. Plus, they have the MFA show up of the 2021 or I think the 2020 Berkeley MFA grads. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to do this year's grad show soon in like the next couple weeks.
Oh, that's really nice. So they're doing both. They're doing trying to get both years in there.
Yeah, to get some people to see those.
Yeah, that's great.
So I've re-entered society.
Good work. Very good work. I'm proud of you.
How about you?
I before we went on vacation, I went to a couple gallery shows. I went to see Lessons of the Hour at McAvoy Foundation, which is unfortunately closed. Oh,
I saw that too.
But, it was really worth seeing. I was happy to be there, although yes. It was kind of intense to be, you know, because his work, his video work requires you to kind of be there for a while. It's not just something you walk through and you're like, oh, I saw that.
Yeah, I think it was like 20 minutes or
something.
Something
like that, maybe 30. Maybe 30, 40 minutes. I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was about 22 minutes.
It's like 22 and a half minutes, I believe. That's exactly what they say. So it was kind of intense to sort of be in a space with, it wasn't crowded, but there were at least 10 people in the room the whole time, you know? And that was sort of that was definitely like a
oh,
first.
Oh, dang. Okay. There was almost nobody there when I went. Had you seen Isaac Julian's work before?
Yeah, I saw a piece of his at Fort Mason a couple of years back. I'm trying to remember the name of that one.
Was it that one like 9-channel video yes. where there's like, it's like a, looks like a kung fu movie being shot on a green, big green screen?
That does not sound familiar to me. Not a kung fu movie. But it was a massive.
It's like a woman like all rigged up to be flying around in the air.
Hold on.
It was called the thing I'm thinking of is called 10,000 Waves.
Okay, no, this one was called.
I saw it in New York.
This one was called Playtime.
Mason, do you think we got to be doing, if you're not doing more than 6 channels of video, then what are you even doing?
I love an immersive video installation. I'm just going to say that. I mean, I'm not.
Not if it's Van Gogh.
I was just going to say, not the fucking illuminated Van Gogh or whatever the hell that thing is called. But I have seen a number of pieces where there's few that I don't love, but that's more for the content of it. But I do love the experience of being surrounded by
like what?
Sound and video. I'm forgetting his name.
I don't want to be able to see the whole thing, okay? I want stuff to be out of my field of view.
You don't. So I think some people really struggle with that, with like not being able to see everything.
I don't want to be able to take it all in. If I could take it all in, why am I not just watching it in my right. house?
Or why not just watch it on one screen?
I want 4 million lumen projectors. I want 28 million lumens, and I want at least 10 bright sign players hooked up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and what was nice about this installation at McAvoy is that all the screens were different sizes too, which sort of gave it more of like an intimate experience versus just like a big fucking movie theater experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or like makes me think of like a bunch of salon style hung pictures.
Yeah. Which, I thought it was really beautifully done. I really appreciated it. I liked it. I give it a 10. 9.5.
Maysoon, let's go ahead and give a shout out to Astria Superac. And she's got something coming up.
She's got something coming up in June at the Wattis. It is a lecture she's been working on for quite some time.
This was delayed.
And it was delayed because of the pandemic.
So much, and it's much anticipated.
Yeah, and we're super excited. We've been cheering her on and have been sort of like patiently waiting. I am sorry. I'm looking at their calendar for the actual date. And
well, you're looking for that. Let me remind the listeners that Conrad Guevara has a show coming up featuring Joseph Rayo and Nancy Guevara. And that's going to be up in Right Window. You know where that is. It's 992 Valencia Street, right by Maysoon's house. Do go visit Maysoon. Just climb in her window. Just kidding.
Just come on in.
Never do that.
Well, yeah.
And this is going to be up. Conrad's show will be up from June 1st to 30th. Okay, and back to Astria.
Okay, so Astria's lecture will be on Thursday, June 10th. And this was from the year where they were studying Trinity Minha, this particular conversation or series of lectures or texts.
Very cool. So wait, what day is it?
It is on Thursday.
So this is Astria's talk.
Yes, Thursday, right. June 10th.
Okay. So Astria's talk will be Thursday, June 10th. Mark your calendar. That's only 6 days before the pandemic is over.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be online, people. Don't worry. Okay,
pandemic's not over anyway.
It's an illustrated talk.
Look at the fucking global numbers, people. Open your fucking eyes.
It's an illustrated talk by Astria Superac titled Asian Futures Without Asians. That's what it's called. Gosh, their website's a little bit
okay.
wonky, which is fine.
You're really coming in on hard on all these websites.
Am I?
You're coming down hard on all these gallery websites.
I'm sorry.
Well, Case and Ware Kirkby, you're trying to call them up.
I'm just trying to be helpful. Hey guys, I don't know if you know about your website. I know sometimes being helpful in my mind is probably not helpful for other people.
No, you're doing a great job, and I personally salute
it's
you.
Okay, Kate.
Okay, Maysoon, where are you at with everything that you're thinking and feeling in life?
I'm having a rough week. It's been a rough few weeks. I did want to say that Once Removed, the exhibition curated by Kija Lucas over at SOEX, closes this weekend. So please get out there and see it if you haven't. And I also really excitedly want to shout out the next exhibition coming up there called We Use Our Hands to Support, which is curated by good friend of everyone, Lucasa Branfin, very similar.
Oh, hell yeah.
Opens at the end of May on May 29th over at SOEX. So get out there. Lucasa is like the... just an amazing person and artist, and excited to see what she's putting together.
Yay.
I also wanted to shout out the show at Et al. And the Mission. I believe that also closes this weekend, and that's why I wanted to look it up. But it's new works by Renee Gertler and Paula Brunner Ablo. And that is open through Saturday. So, and I believe Et al. Is really only available for appointments on Friday and Saturday. So you only have 2 days to go see that show. And I would highly encourage it.
Will be weird. Have you been feeling weird?
I might be weird. It really just depends on the day and how much I've read these days. So
I feel weird. generally.
You feel weird, like you feel weird being out and about, like trying to go back to doing things in a normal, some sort of normal fashion.
Yeah, but then I'm like, am I acting any different than I ever have, or am I just being more self-conscious?
Mm. Well, what do you think?
I don't know. That's the problem.
I mean, I guess it would make sense to feel more self-conscious right now because we literally haven't. I mean, I feel like we've all been sitting in dark holes for the past year. So, of course, when you emerge, you're going to be like, I don't know what to do. Like, I definitely feel like a weirdo.
Pretty.
I don't know. I feel like when I see people, I'm like, hi, it's so nice to see them. And then I'm like, I got to go. I got to get out of here immediately.
Okay, Mason, do we want to say anything about Palestine?
Yeah, they're under an ongoing brutal occupation by the state of Israel and frankly funded by all of the large governments of the world. So
funded by us,
funded by the U.S.
Funded by us, U.S., you, me, everyone who's paying taxes, we're funding this.
Right.
It's got to stop.
It's got to stop. And the one way we can do that, as we have learned over and over again at every election cycle, is by calling your fucking representatives and pushing and getting people together to make those calls, send those emails. We've seen the way grassroots can change, can make change. And so we really have to believe in it also. And this is another area where we can try our hardest to make change. There's millions of organizations, local and national and international, that you can join, get on their mailing lists, get, you know, alerts for actions, whether they be protests in the streets or sort of policy actions where you're emailing or calling representatives. There's all sorts of information, all sorts of things. I can try to create a little list to include in the underworld.
And there is an article that just came out recently in The Guardian by Omar Barghouti,
mm-hmm.
Talking about BDS. And I just want to say, read a little chunk of this. Inspired by the South African anti-apartheid struggle and the U.S. civil rights movement, the nonviolent anti-racist BDS movement was launched in 2005 by the broadest coalition of Palestinian society. It calls for ending Israel's 1967 occupation, upholding the right of Palestinian refugees to return to their lands, and ending Israel's institutionalized and legalized system of racial domination, which meets the UN definition of apartheid, as recently acknowledged by Human Rights Watch. You can't even bring up BDS in the United States, hardly.
No.
There's only a handful of elected leaders, like, talking about this at all.
Yeah.
But as I'm sure listeners know, it stands for boycott, divest, and sanction. Mm-hmm. And that's can make real change.
Yeah. I mean, in all situations, hit people where it hurts, which is always in the pocketbook, right? And so that's one way to do that. If you can't get your leaders to change or our country to stop spending billions of dollars a fucking year.
Exactly.
To support Israel in their, like, brutal and violent attacks against Palestinians constantly, not just right now, when this all dies down, it's still actually happening, everyone, just so you know.
Yeah, don't forget. And I would say, especially to artists that have opportunities to go do stuff with Israel, especially the Israeli government, that's crossing the picket line. Palestinians are asking, this is such an easy way for Americans to support is through BDS. And that means not giving your artwork, not giving your intellectual work if you're an academic, all this stuff. Don't forget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm putting a link to this article in the underworld.
Good. Yeah, the Barghouti family is incredible. I think it's Marwan Barghouti has been in prison in Israel for, I want to say, decades now. But he is, I believe it's Marwan who would be like a potential leader of a state of Palestine. And Israel's doing the job of keeping him imprisoned.
Are you doing okay? And I don't even have any other emails. Here's a lighter note. Should we just take a moment to appreciate our cats?
Oh, my cats have been really good. They've been like hanging out with me all day.
Yeah, they're blessed.
They are blessed. Your cats, Tomato, Bungie, and Rosie the Riveter.
Yes, and Tomato is right here with me and been here this whole time.
Tomato is just like the ultimate Kate support.
He just is like Kate a little support. Cloud. He doesn't do anything. And you can just pick him up and put him anywhere and then he'll just lay back down. In the last episode with my little mommy, we had not exactly an email in from a listener, but just an email from a person.
Oh, just from a rando?
Just some random person contacting me about finding a studio about space like... and art community in the East Bay. Or no, finding a studio and art community in the South Bay. I think this person is, I'm not exactly sure where they were moving to. It was like Palo Alto or Redwood City or one of those places. And the thing was they had a little young child. And so they don't have a lot of time away from home to be like going to a lot of openings and stuff. So basically they were asking, how can I have a community and find a studio space without actually going out or doing anything?
Oh, gosh, that's not possible. So what did your mom say to that? Did she have any advice?
My mom basically said, just talk to your neighbors.
Oh, God, she's so cute. Yes, you can have a community just outside your door. That is such a great idea.
Yeah, and I feel like that's an avenue that we've never really said that. We're usually like, when we have these questions, we're like, go volunteer at a nonprofit or, you know. But those things can take a lot of time up.
And honestly, community does just start with your neighbors sometimes, you know?
Yes.
Like it really can be that simple.
Absolutely.
It really can be. I love that. I want to remember that as an answer for any question like that again, you know? Or even for myself, like if I'm, you know.
Yes.
I live in a neighborhood where talking to your neighbors is difficult because we're all in apartments and there's not like no one's out taking care of the lawn.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
But I do know the neighbors that I know tend to be businesses, right? Because I go in and say hi and chat and I see them from week to week to week.
Right.
So it's like those are the neighbors that I'm actually almost closer with at this point.
Totally.
Than people living in their homes or in their apartments.
And I feel that you know a lot working in a neighborhood, especially if you're interfacing with people, customers and that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, know your neighbor, everyone. I love that.
Yes, absolutely. And finally, we can maybe feel a little less conflicted about having a little chat with someone.
The other thing you guys talked about in the last episode, you talked about with your mom in the last episode that I really loved, was this notion that trees are on trend. And I just feel like, yes, yes, they are.
Hell yes. Have you been seeing trees these days?
I guess in the way that neighbors can be community or our community, trees being on trend is like an always yes, 100% every day.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
So I just want to just be like, yep, trees are on trend, everyone.
Oh my God. Speaking of trees, Maysoon, did we talk about how I don't have a car anymore?
Yeah, because you totaled it. Or it got totaled. No, because the fucking whatchamacallit got stolen.
My catalytic converter got stolen off the Prius. And sure enough, when we got a quote on how much it was going to cost to fix, the insurance company was like, whoa, that's actually going to cost more to fix than the car is worth. So we're just going to pay you for the car.
I just don't get how that is. I don't get how that's... Is the catalytic converter like, isn't it just like a couple thousand dollars?
I don't know. It's like it's the piece, the actual whatever you call it, the material, the part. It's the part, the labor. I don't fucking know, but they ended up paying us like $5,300 for the car that we paid like $4,000 for.
So can you take the money, fix the car, and no one ever knows? Or do they, like, exchange the car for the money kind of thing?
No, they take the car. Yeah, they take the car. It's their car.
Okay. Damn.
Isn't that wild?
So now you're without the car.
So here's the deal.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I've just been...
People, if you're selling a car for $5,300, no, please call
Kate. I think that's the thing. We're not going to get a new car.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to... How about bike riding?
I've been taking the bus. I've been walking. I have my bike, but I kind of want to trade my bike in for a different bike. My bike, I feel like my bike is made of like wrought iron.
It's very heavy.
It's really heavy. And if I'm going to be taking it on the bus and on BART and like, you know, really becoming a bike person with my little hat.
Yeah.
With my little short billed hat.
With your helmet, you mean.
And my helmet. Well, you wear the hat under the helmet? Oh, I'm wearing a helmet, May, soon.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Come on. Please.
Thank you.
Okay. Plus, we have to here. Isn't it the law? In Ohio, you didn't even have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle.
No one's
going to
pull you over. No one's going to pull
you
over.
Did you know that?
You have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle?
No, in Ohio, you didn't even have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle.
Oh, my God. That is so crazy. That's just not... No.
Yeah.
So dangerous.
The cops would pull you... If you wore a helmet, the cops in Ohio would pull you over and they'd give you a ticket for being a pussy.
What? That is not right.
I'm just kidding.
Probably not true.
I'm pretty sure I could have made all that up. But
I think you made that
My point here is, Maysoon, where are people going for their good, if you're in Oakland or the East Bay, where are you getting your bike stuff done? Because I used to go to this place called Changing Gears that was in Alameda. It was like a nonprofit. That's where I got my bike. They closed.
That's great. You know what? Pedal Revolution also fucking closed.
Oh, no.
And they were, like, very similar.
Because some of these places that you're like, oh, this seems like a cool bike shop, you know, that, you know, I don't know. They seem like punks in here. This seems cool. Then you're fucking, you know, getting a tube replaced or something. It costs an arm and a leg.
Yep.
Where are people?
No, it's true. I went to Valencia Cyclery out here. I was trying to get some work done, and they quoted me no less than $500. And I was like, no.
You could get a new bike.
No.
See, you totaled your bike.
I can, but, you know, there's no need to throw something to the waste
pile. Actually need to go to some kind of dyke bike fixing training class where I learn my own stuff?
I mean, changing your tire is not the hardest thing to do.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, it's hard if you're trying to get somewhere and you're like, fuck, I have a flat tire. I have to change it right this second. Like, that sucks. But if you just need to change it at home, like, if you can, you know, that's actually something that's pretty easy to do. And then you just get your bike, get like a tune-up. If you're using it a lot, I think you should get a tune-up at least once a year.
Okay.
If you're using it every day all the time.
Right.
If you're just using it a couple times a year, it can stretch on for a long time.
Okay.
I think the other thing is like maybe we need to go to neighborhoods that aren't as expensive where rent isn't super expensive to get it fixed for a cheaper
price.
What
are you saying?
You know what I mean?
Okay. Where do I go?
Oh,
are you telling me to ride my bike
you.
Down 80 to Vallejo?
Oh, shit. Right. No, don't do that. Oh, no. Right. Of course. You don't even have a car to take yourself to another place. Fuck.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to try to get on back down here on Piedmont Avenue, which is a pretty ritzy part of town. But they have a little bike shop called Pioneer Bike Works or something like that. And there's a guy down there that's done me right.
You just got to say, hey, look, man.
Let's
I don't
be
need all
real.
The bells and
Let's
whistles.
Fucking be honest.
I just need to make sure I'm not going to die on this thing, okay?
Yeah, but
you just got to say that.
But the thing about changing gears was I could have just rode my bike into there and said, hey, can I trade this in for a different bike? And they would have been yeah, take a look around. You know?
Oh, cool.
Because they were just like, the bike I got, they were just like, here, we'll take this frame and then this seat off this other bike and... They're just running a Frankenstein
sort of like
shop over there.
Thrown together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you were in the city, there's a few places here I could recommend to check out or to call maybe in advance even.
Okay.
But I don't know the East Bay at all for bike stuff.
Okay. I'm also a larger woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
I'm like, do I need this wrought iron bike?
No, because of your size.
I think I can be on a lesser bike.
Kate, no, they have
I don't think
they
I'm
have
gonna crumple
contemporary materials that are fucking strong as hell. and can hold me and can hold you and can hold us
together.
So just cut it out.
Do I need to get some kind of street bike? What kind of bike? This is what I need.
Don't get a fancy bike.
I need to go back. See, changing gears.
Don't get a fancy bike.
Come back to me.
You don't need anything stolen, okay? If you get a fancy bike and you lock it on the street, the shit's going to get stripped and you're done.
That's why I had this piece of shit I have now. I don't want it. It's got no visible brand names or anything like that.
Perfect.
Yep.
You could also try Craigslist.
Well, plus it weighs 50,000 pounds, and I think that would be hard to steal.
Well, but the thing is,
I've had every bike I've had before this got stolen.
Have you looked at Craigslist? I think there's probably tons of people who have fancy bikes who need to sell them because they're leaving the Bay Area and don't want to bring it. You know what I mean?
I think I've had about 5 bikes stolen.
Oh my goodness.
But I got to say, at least 4 of those were really on me.
Really?
Yeah, because I wasn't really taking it seriously.
Oh, like locking it and stuff? You're just like,
it can't happen again. I mean, I always lock it, but, I'd have one of those cable locks that you can cut with a knife. And
you can cut with a butter
knife. I wasn't really
knife.
Putting it in a good spot. Sometimes a place would have indoor parking, and I'd be like, I don't want to carry my bike up the stairs.
Uh-huh. Well, next time we see
each
other.
Which is another reason I need a lighter bike.
We can discuss the proper ways to lock a bike.
There's got to be some dike workshop
really
out
hope
here.
So.
We're going to meet people. We're going to change our whole lives.
God. I really hope so.
Hell yeah.
They definitely have like fix your bike shop, like workshops and stuff.
Absolutely. With those little things.
And hey, what? Guess what? That's
things.
A perfect summertime activity for you. Outdoor.
And if you're trying to meet people, great place for it.
You know what? Was it Omni Commons? Are those guys still around?
Oh, yeah. I bet
like,
they have some bike
like they
fixing
would
shit.
Have something like that there. They seem like...
Big time.
Yeah, right? Okay. Let's check that out.
Wait, let's take a look. Oh, no. It's temporarily closed.
Temporarily. That's fine. That just means they're closed because of COVID.
Oh, fuck. They had a GoFundMe.
Oh,
God
shit.
In heaven. Did they not fund it? I'll put a link in the underworld. Maybe there's still time. Why is all my GoFundMe in French?
Oh, weird. It looks.
Oh, this isn't French. What is this? Portuguese?
There's a place called the Bikery that I feel like maybe you could go support. They're on 23rd Avenue, kind of near the Fruitvale BART stop. That's kind of far for you, though, I guess, huh?
Okay, but Maysoon, people, give money to the Omni so I can go to my dyke bike workshop.
Yeah.
They've got it. I'm sure there's one that's been running for since 1968. In Berkeley, in somebody's backyard.
Okay, yeah. Let's look for them.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Why not? Of course.
Okay, Maysoon, I'll be riding my bike someday from the bridge.
Oh, to the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations,
Pine Tree.